ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 21, Conversation between Swayambhuva Manu and Kardama Muni. This morning, text number 14. Ye mayaya te patta medasaha tvat pada Aravindam bhava sindhu potam upasate kama lavaya tesham rasi isha kaman nirayi api ye Maya te hanta medasastva Padaravindam bhavasindhukotam Upasate kamalavaya tesham Rashishya kaman nirayeti yeshu Maya te hatta medasastva Adaravindam bhavasindhukotam Upasate kamalavaya tesham Rasishya kaman nirayeti yeshu Maya te hatta medasastva Adaravindam bhavasindhukotam Upasate kamalavaya tesham Rasishya kaman nirayeti yeshu
Atamira Sastra Adaravindam bhava sindhu potam. Vasate kama
jayate sam. Persons, mayaya, by the deluding energy, te, of you, hatta, has been lost, medasaha, whose intelligence, tvat, your, para aravindam, lotus feet, bhava, of mundane existence, sindhu, the ocean, potam, the boat for crossing, upasate, worship, kamalavaya, for obtaining trivial pleasures, tesham, there, rasi, you bestow, Isha, O Lord, Kaman, desires, Niraye, in hell, Api, even, Ye, which desires, Shuhu, can be available. Translation, your lotus feet are the true vessel to take one across the ocean of mundane nescience. Only persons deprived of their intelligence by the spell of the deluding energy will worship those feet with a view to attain the trivial and momentary pleasures of the senses which even persons rotting in hell can't attain. However, O my Lord, You are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, there are two kinds of devotees, those who desire material pleasures and those who desire nothing but service to the Lord. Material pleasures can be attained even by hogs and dogs, whose condition of life is hellish. The hog also eats, sleeps, and enjoys sex life to the full extent, and it is also very satisfied with such hellish enjoyment of material existence. Modern yogis advise that because one has senses, one must enjoy to the fullest extent, like cats and dogs, yet one can go out and practice yoga. This is condemned here by Kardama Muni. He says that such material pleasures are available for cats and dogs in a hellish condition. The Lord is so kind that if so-called yogis are satisfied by hellish pleasures, He can give them facilities to attain all their material pleasures they desire, but they cannot attain the perfectional stage attained by Kardama Muni. Hellish and demoniac persons do not actually know what is the ultimate attainment in perfection. And therefore they think that sense gratification is the highest goal of life. They advise that one can satisfy the senses and at the same time, by reciting some mantra and by some practice, can cheaply aspire for perfection. Such persons are described here as Hatta Medasaha, which means those whose brains are spoiled. They aspire for material enjoyment by perfection of yoga or meditation. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated by the Lord that the intelligence of those who worship the demigods has been spoiled. Similarly, here too it is stated by Kardama Muni that one who aspires after material enjoyment by practice of yoga has spoiled his brain substance and is fool number one. Actually, the intelligent practitioner of yoga should aspire for nothing else but to cross over the oceans of nescience by worshiping the personality of Godhead and to see the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind, however, that even today, persons whose brain substance is spoiled are given the benediction to become cats, dogs, or hogs and enjoy material happiness from sex life and sense gratification. The Lord confirms this benediction in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever a person aspires to receive from me, I offer him as he desires. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivishesha Sunya Varipas Chacha Deya Satarani Om Gyanam Timmaram Doshyoganam Janat Shilakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhuba Eva Chapatitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So here Kardama Muni is directly looking at the lotus feet of the Lord. He sees him directly. He's advanced now. He's achieved the goal of all his practice and the Lord is directly before him. And so he's looking at these lotus feet, and he describes them as Bhava Sindhu Potam, Padaravindam Bhava Sindhu Pota. A boat, a vessel, to take one across the ocean of material vessels. So these feet are, that benediction is there. You may recall, I don't have the book here, but I have the database, a famous prayer when the demigods were praying to Krishna in the womb. He said, they say like this, I hear this. Twayi ambujak shakila sattva dhamni samarina veshita cheta saike patpada potena mahatpatena kurvanti go vatsa padam babam babam jim. They say that here they're saying that addressing the lotus eyed lords that those who are thinking of your lotus feet, concentrating their meditation on your lotus feet, which are in fact akila sattva dhamni, the original cause of all existence. Special feet, huh? Not ordinary feet. Everything comes from those feet. And he says, and they accept these feet as the boat for crossing material existence. Same word is used here, pota, patpada pota. They're thinking of your feet as this boat. By means of this boat, you get on this boat of Krishna's lotus feet. Mahatpritena, that activity was done by the Mahats in the past. Either this feat was even offered to us by the great souls of the past, or that the great souls of the past also they took advantage of this. Both meanings are there, the Mahajanas. And when they take this boat, Kurvanti Govatsa Padam, Bhava Amdim, the great ocean of material nescience becomes like the water in the hoofprint of a calf. Govatsa Padam. So here the ocean of material nescience is a tough place. Huh? Mahaprabhu says like this, Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavambuddha. This place, Vishame means it's rough. I'm your servant and now I'm in this ocean and it's rough. There's no way out. But here the Lord's lotus feet are like a boat that rescues. Somehow we can concentrate our mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, as was done by the great sages, that rescues us from this ocean of material existence. If we can just fix our mind somehow on the Lord, we can be rescued. Otherwise, there's no getting out. There's no getting out. And it says here, when that happens, actually what happens, this big ocean, it shrinks. It becomes just like a little tiny bit of water, just like you see in the hoof print made by a calf. They step right over it. And then the next verse, the devatas say to Krishna, he mentions that when the acharyas take shelter of your lotus feet in order to cross this ocean of nescience, they leave, although they cross over by this boat, they leave it behind for others. So if they've gone in the past, but they've constructed a way across, and so they've left it for us. You might say that the boat becomes like a bridge. So in this way, the Lord's feet have this advantage. It can rescue one from the entire ocean of material existence. So therefore, he says, looking at the Lord's feet, anyone, therefore, who has approached the Lord or taking to the transcendental process and gets something material, hatta mirisaha, his brains are wasted. It's just intelligence is completely destroyed by this. Because what does he want? He wants pleasure that is enjoyed even niraye, in hell. And the purport Prabhupada says, this is what the hellish condition of life means, animal life. They live in abominable conditions, a terrible situation, and yet the sense gratification is available. Anyway, we see all the time in this world hellish people. They're always filled with anger and rage. They're violent toward each other. Their life, every minute, is filled with fear, you know, like gangsters or criminals like that. In any minute you can be killed. Your friend will take you out in the back and shoot you. Everybody's making money illegally, and they're not only stealing from everybody else, but they're busy stealing from each other. There's no love, there's no trust. And they're enjoying like crazy. It's totally hellish. And they have women and alcohol and so on. And you can see this. The same pleasure, even among human beings. So this is his point here, that people who have this opportunity of spiritual life and then waste it by wanting something material. In the purport here, Prabhupada says that we see that people who are taking up yoga practice everywhere, they do for some material enjoyment. And even there are two kinds of devotees, those who approach the Lord for material enjoyment and those who approach the Lord for nothing but service. So we here in this Hare Krishna movement, we have committed ourselves to this path of pure devotional service. From the very beginning, we have material desires, we come to this process with material desires. But we are coming to become free from those desires, not to satisfy those desires. So even the beginning, desires are there, we are not advanced, but we've accepted this path. This path is pure devotional service. The six Goswamis have done a big favor for us. Because, as it is said about them, they examined all the revealed scriptures, and from there they extracted pure devotional service. In the scriptures, not just in the Vedic scriptures from India, but anywhere, there's different kinds of religions being taught. Karma, jnana, bhakti, all these things are there. And they're all mixed up. People are sometimes confused. They don't know what the real path is. But we have no excuse. Because this is what the six Goswamis have done. They've shown what is actually pure devotional service. Anya abhilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. It means that we become free from all extraneous desires for anything extra. And that means we want to become free from these things belonging to materialistic religion, karma, jnana. So that's the Bhagavatam. This is the specific standard of Bhagavatam. Dharma projita kaitava atra paramo niramatsaranam satam. This Bhagavatam is for those who have, whose hearts are free from all niramatsara, no envy. They are not in the business of competitive sense gratification. They're finished with that business. The people in the material world, this is their business, competitive sense gratification. Let me enjoy the senses. And to do that, of course, other people, they want the same object, so I have to fight them off. Therefore, they're in this duality of desire and hate, icha dvesha. As soon as you want to enjoy in the world, you will have desires, therefore you have hate. They go together. Two sides of the same coin. Because you want something and then you have to hate anything that interferes with your desire. I want to become rich. Well, there's only so much money to go around, so other people are trying to get the same money, so we have to fight. So therefore everyone is envious in this competitive sense gratification. People are trying to become bigger and better than everybody else. So the path of devotional service is to give this up. Is to give it up. Forget about it. And therefore, dharma projita kaitavo atra. You give up all this dharma that is kaitava dharma. Dharma which gives you some kind of sense gratification. Because people are trying to become great. In the material world, everyone has got going a God project. Let me become the supreme. Some people do it on a big scale and some people do it on a little scale. Prabhupada pointed out that if somebody can't lord it over anything, he purchases a dog, now I'm the master, sit, roll over. We have all had the experience sometime working with the government and some little bitty bureaucrat, tiny sub manager. And we need one little thing, and oh, we have to treat him like he's... oh, please give me... Flatter him and bribe him and everything just to get his little stamp on a piece of paper. That's his power, one rubber stamp. And he thinks he's God, That everyone has this God project going. Why is that? Because it's isha and dvesha, desire and hate. And the original desire, why we are here to begin with? Because the original desire is, why can't I be God? And the original hate is, why should Krishna be God? So we are here trying to do our God project and become the big, best, bigger, better than everybody else. And for that reason, people, they take to dharma to help them in this effort. So the religion of becoming greater. Let me worship the demigods, get their favor. Let me do this. By pious activities I can become richer and so on. They practice religion for that reason. God will make you rich. This is a big American religion. They call it the gospel of prosperity. God shows His love by making you rich. People believe this all the time. Then, of course, when people discover that this doesn't work, their following the karma, khanda section of the Vedas, then they turn to renunciation. But still the God project is there. Huh? Now it's on another level. Let me become one with God, you know, merge with the Absolute and so on. Still the God project is there. Still I want to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Huh? So all these are Kaitava Dharma. They're cheating religions. So when we are taken to this path of devotional service, it is our business to give them up. That's what we are committing ourselves to, is to give them up. So we have to be very careful about this. Because as Prabhupada says, one cannot, here in this purport, he says, one cannot at the same time engage in sense gratification and think that I will make spiritual advancement. This is typical of all these cheating yoga societies. They tell people this, that you can somehow or other become a spiritual person and at the same time satisfy your senses. But when Prabhupada was asked in London, how do you differ from these gurus and swamis? And Prabhupada said, because we do not bluff. Therefore, my disciples, they must follow the regulative principles. We do not cheat. Because this is cheating. This is cheating. So we should understand this very clearly. That sense gratification and self-realization are two opposite things. You cannot have both. And Prabhupada has explained this very, very clearly. Huh? The sense gratification and self-realization are, in mathematical terms, they're inversely proportional. If you go to the grocer's and you buy some bananas, he has a scale, right? Bananas on one pan and some weights on the other, right? Like this. So this is the inverse proportion. Let us say here in my right hand, this is self-realization, and here in my left hand is sense gratification. So as self-realization goes up, sense gratification goes down. And if sense gratification starts going up, you'll look at the other side and you'll see that self-realization goes down. This is a law, like a law of nature. You know? This is a truth. They're inversely proportional. This business where they both go up, that does not happen. And when somebody says to you, it can happen, is a cheater. It's a cheater. So we should also understand this about Krishna consciousness. If we want Krishna consciousness, we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then all forms of material desires, they have to go away. This is the law of nature. It has to go away. So therefore we are advised particularly to keep this desire from sense gratification destroying our brain. Hanta mere. We can also become hanta mere saha. We have to be careful not to pray to Krishna. We are supposed to ask Krishna for something. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, we are requesting a benediction. Whenever there's a prayer, there's a request for a benediction. Great souls ask the Lord for things. The meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, please engage me in your service. One should ask for that. And if we want Krishna's service, we have to ask it wholeheartedly. Please engage me in your service. Because the other part is, therefore, please disengage me from Maya. I can't say, please engage me in your service, but also let me have some Maya. That's not your service, huh? Otherwise, our material desires can go away very quickly. It is a fact that we are in this world and we're filled with material desires. That's the condition. But that's not a disqualification for taking up the practice of devotional service. We need devotional service. So that I have material desires is not my disqualification. The disqualification is that I do not want to become free from them. That's anyabilasita shunyam. From wanting to satisfy these desires. I do not go to devotional service for satisfying my material desires. I go to them for getting rid of them. It can be done because we have to follow this process correctly. That is to say, we have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra while trying to give up offenses. This is called chanting on the clearing platform. On the not the pure platform, but between offensive and inoffensive. The offenses are there, but I'm trying to become free from these offenses. If I'm chanting just in that sincere way, then although the pure name will not be manifest, which is none different from Krishna, at least the dawning light of the name. Haridas Thakur called this Nam Abhasa. This dawning light of the holy name. Like the sun is below the horizon in the morning, but the sun's dawning light is in the sky. The Namacharya tells us that just that dawning light of the holy name destroys all sinful reactions and gives mukti. Then when the pure name arrives, that gives prema. So just by practicing, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and trying to give up offenses, then material desires will go away. But one offense is maintaining material desires. The tenth offense is against the holy name, not to have complete faith in chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra, or to maintain material desires. Now you notice that having material desires is not the offense. That's a bad situation, but it's not offense against the holy name. The offense is maintaining the desires. Let me keep this. That is to say, when I look at it, when I see the desires in my heart, I should be praying to Krishna, please get rid of them. Destroy them. Think of your heart, the material desires. Imagine you're in a video game. You know any video game that people play. And you have a war machine, a tank or an airplane that shoots things. And everywhere on the field you see your material desires. Shoot them. Don't spare them. Mark them for destruction. Everyone. Target them. So I have to pray to Krishna like this. Please destroy my material desires. Because I cannot destroy them myself. But Krishna destroys them. And that is explained actually by Srila Prabhupada. There's a prayer to Lord Nrisingadev. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namastejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vajra Naka Vajra Tamsra Karmashayan randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om swaha abhayam abhayam atmani stam om shaum. In the fifth canto, you find this Upanishadic prayer. So there the Lord is addressed. He's the power of all powers. After all, Hiranyakashipu was the terrorist of the universe. And the Sringadeva didn't, like a cat and a mouse. But he's the power of all powers. It's emphasized that he has fangs, claws, like thunderbolts or like diamonds. Vajranakra, Vajradamsta. And then that power, what is that power for? What are those teeth for? Karmashayan, narandaya randaya. You know this word karmashayan? Means the strong desire to enjoy in this world. Karmashayan described in the Bhagavatam as the knot in the heart. This desire to enjoy in the world. It's very strong. And so Prahlad is saying to the Sringadeva, karmashayan randaya randaya. Get rid of it. So then Prabhupada remarks. He says that we should, that Hiranyakashipu is the personification of of karmashayan, the desire to enjoy in the world. Because the Hiranya, the desire for money, and Kashipu, the pillows for soft bed for having sex and so on. This is it. Money and women, has been described like that. Desire to enjoy sex and money. So that's all embodied in Hiranyakashipu. So we have to say that we have in our hearts a Hiranyakashipu. This is something else our acharyas have told us to do, to understand that I myself have chosen the path of pure devotional service, but my mind has not. I have made this decision, but my mind is like Hiranyakashipu. It wants to go on enjoying in the world. Therefore, Narottama Das Thakur has said, "Oh, my mind, you are not a Vaishnava." So if we see in our hearts, our minds, so many unwanted things, okay, that's not me. That's my mind. I've decided. But the mind has just got the habits from so many years of sense gratification. That's not me. And I have to pray to Krishna, you please take care of us. And you also, from Raghunath Das Goswami, we have Mana Shikshaha. He's giving instructions to his mind what to do, how to behave. So if we have got this Hiranyakashipu inside in the heart, therefore we have to ask Nisringadeva. And Prabhupada says like this, we should pray to Nisringadeva, Hridaye Nisringa. We should pray to Nisringadeva, Hridaye Nisringa, please manifest yourself in my heart and destroy my Hiranyakashipu-like material desires. Every day we say this, By hearing the Nisringa, Hridaye Nisringa. So we should know what we're saying. Please come into my heart. So if the Sringadeva comes into our hearts, certainly, even though our material desires are big and powerful like Hiranyakashipu, the Sringadeva can do it. But we cannot pray, please destroy my material desires, but not this one. This one I want to keep. Or please destroy my material desires, but after 15 years. Then he won't come. Then he won't come. So we have to be careful in this way. We have to ask, we ask the Lord, please destroy them all. And if the ones I don't even know about, please destroy those too. Go on a, in the military they call a search and destroy mission. Find them out and destroy them. This, we have to pray like this. Otherwise, if we are maintaining material desires, then that's also an offense against the holy name. And if that offense, if we're not trying to become free from that offense, then the potency of the holy names will not act. Then it is like cooking with smoke or chanting. It'll take a very, very long time and so much trouble. We have to have a hot fire. So we have to try to follow this process and give up these offenses. The other thing is we have to be careful not to use devotional service itself for sense gratification. In the Madhurya Kandambani by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about different kinds of anardas. And one kind, of course, is anardas that are offenses, aparad, seva aparad, nam aparad, Vaishnava aparad. But one anarda is the anardas that arise from bhakti. Bhakti itself produces. Because by performing devotional service, Krishna gives facility. A devotee becomes attractive to other people. In India, you put on this color saffron and people will touch your feet automatically. People worship you. You become recognized as a spiritual person. Money comes, followers come, praise comes, glorification comes. If we start to enjoy these things, that is very, very bad. So these things are especially described as weeds that can grow up. When you water the bhakti lata, also you can water these weeds. And they are mentioned, huh? Puja, pratishta, kutinati. One can become a hypocrite, acting one way in public, another way in private, looking for a pratishta, a position, looking for puja, looking for worship. These things have to be uprooted. So anyway, there are very good instructions about this. The desire for fame, this is pratishtasha. Pratishtasha, the desire for fame. Raghunath Das Goswami in the Manasi Siksha describes that desire like a swapacha ramani dancing in his heart. You know, swapacha ramani is hard to translate. A dog eating prostitute. Like a really low class showgirl, huh? A swapacha ramani dancing in his heart. And he tells his mind to beg the devotees to come and arrest her and get her out. You have to go. So these things. And the other thing, kutinati, this fault finding and diplomatic behavior, he says is a big ass. And why, he says to his mind, why are you bathing yourself in the urine that is flowing from this ass? This is very heavy language, Bhagavad Gita Swami says. He says, better you should take a bath in the nectar that comes from the feet of Radha and Krishna. That bath, not this other bath. So these are all the things that we have to be careful. We have to look at them. Because Prabhupada, in the purport, I've got it here. I'll show you what he says. This is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is described, these puja, pratishtha, and so on, are these weeds that grow up. And so because of this, somebody can look like, oh, a very successful devotee. He can collect so much money and make temples. He can get so many followers. He can become famous from writing books or whatever. Oh, you're very advanced. And then sometimes we've seen suddenly runs off with a girl or something. You know, these things happen. We're all shocked. How did this happen? So many things were there. It looked so big. But Prabhupada has explained this. He says, all these obstructions have been described in this verse. This is from Majjalila. This is Mahaprabhu instructing Rupa Goswami. I'm reading the purport to Majjalila 159. Prabhupada says, all these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for the real creeper, the bhakti lata. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Now here's the really scary part. Frightening. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the bhakti creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper. But in spite of this, even though they look good, they are called upashaka. A pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti creeper and a mundane creeper. He's very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. So we have to have an alert mentality. We have to look. Our path is to avoid becoming great. This is the path of the world, the path of pride. Huh? Let me become better, my God project. The path of devotional service is the path of humility. Dasa, 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 anudasa. Let me go down lower and lower and lower and lower. This is not very attractive to worldly people. So sometimes we have to be careful, because the conditioning is there that we can think I can become higher and higher. I can get some position in the institution. I can get this, I can get that. This is all anarthas in the heart. Our path should be the path of humility. Janadapi sumichana. We should naturally, thinking of Krishna, understanding how small we are, how significant, and that any achievement that may look like it's mine belongs to somebody else. It's only by some mercy that somebody let me do something. My spiritual master. But this is the difference with our path. So we should not use the facilities of devotional service for sense gratification, hijacking what belongs to Krishna for our own use. Neither should we at all in any way cultivate material desires. We should try to destroy them all. This way we'll have a good sumedasana. It's said that those who actually follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are sumedasaha. They have good brains. If we do these, then we will not be hatha medasaha. Or with our brain destroyed. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, you have a question? A comment?
Thank you. different congregation. But it seems that sometimes it will become more advanced than the way of service. So many opportunities manifest in front of us, right? Like so much logic might come or like you're saying.
Yeah.
And then we have, of course, we want to avoid these things, we ask them, right? But it is, we should try to refuse everything in the worship of service. So
it's what?
So on one hand, we want to avoid them.
Yeah. I got that part. Just your last thing.
I think we also want to use whatever we can.
Yeah, correct.
So can you please explain a little bit about that expression?
Well, we just have to be honest that the facility, Krishna gives us facility, we have to use it to satisfy his senses. Devotional service means that we have gone a Copernican revolution, that the center of enjoyment is not me, the center of enjoyment is Krishna. So that everything belongs to Krishna. Belongs to Krishna means engaged in his service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Song of Surrender, everything, my house, my wife, everything is yours. And then he says, I do not even belong to myself. My body belongs to Krishna. My eyes, my tongue, my ears, they all belong to Krishna. So I just have to have this consciousness. When I forget Krishna, then I think, oh, this is mine. Everything belongs to Krishna. Prabhupada was pretty firm about this. One time, he was having a discussion with a gentleman from India, I think from Kerala, because he was a Christian, an Indian Christian, and he had clearly been converted to Christianity by hearing bad stories about Krishna, as the missionaries often do. Because this person said to Prabhupada, how can you worship a God who is an adulterer? Who has sex with other men's wives, who enjoys other men. How can you worship a God who is an adulterer? This is the Christian line. And Prabhupada said to him, Krishna is not the adulterer, you are the adulterer. All women belong to Krishna. So he's a pious man, he has his wife. He said, you are the adulterer. All women. He said, all. So even my wife, I have to think she belongs to Krishna. She's not mine. We have this mentality, control the wives, they're to satisfy my senses. I cannot actually have that mentality either. So we have to be careful, because until we're advanced, you know, these desires can sneak in different ways. I've given this facility, it is not for my enjoyment. How much enjoyment can I have? Well, that's clear. Enough to keep body and soul together, to maintain a healthy life. That much is necessary. Anything more than that, anything in excess, we should not do. Okay. Yeah? I'm sorry? He's asking for a wife, huh? So we'll get to that verse, huh? Very next verse, huh?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, we do have the Grihastha Ashram. It's an ashram. Prabhupada allowed it. So we'll have to see how we negotiate that ashram, huh?
Sorry, I just...
Yeah.
stupid,
yeah, yeah.
Simply by the process. Now, when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for many, many years, but that is not happening, so it's a long hearing process.
Yeah, well, Prabhupada has explained it very clearly. In the first canto, in the third chapter, it says simple hearing is not enough. He says, if you want to see Krishna directly in the pages of Bhagavatam, you have to hear from the right person, but he said, you have to hear with rapt attention. He's commenting on the fact that Suta Goswami said that he heard with rapt attention. One has to hear with rapt attention. No one can hear with rapt attention, Prabhupada said, who is not pure in mind. We cannot be pure in mind unless we are pure in action. We cannot be pure in action unless we are pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And even the basic animal activities of life have to be done in a pure way, so our actions are pure. Then the mind becomes pure, and then we can give attention. It's the same process for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. People are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra for years and the dirty things don't go away from the heart. How are they chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? They have a clicker. Krishna Krishna na 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 na. They're thinking so many things. Oh, I was chanting today, I got so many good ideas. We have to pay attention. The mind wanders, we have to bring it back. Huh? Krishna describes this in the sixth chapter. Your mind goes away, you bring it back. Arjuna said, that's very hard to do that. The mind is like, it's like the wind. Krishna says, it can be done. Abhyasa and Vairagya, by Abhyasena, Vairagyena. Abhyasa means practice. Practice means every day you do it. You sit and you practice, you practice. Your mind goes away, you bring it back. Your mind goes away, you bring it back. This way we show Krishna that actually we are interested. Oh, we have to show Krishna that we have some interest. We have to give him the respect, the courtesy of our attention. So we bring it back, we pay attention. Same process with hearing Bhagavatam is none different. The Hare Krishna mantra and Srimad Bhagavatam, they're both names of God, really. So we have a process for concentrating the mind on Krishna. So finally, there's nothing but Krishna. We are 100% focused on Krishna and we do not see anything else. Of course, Krishna has his savishesha. Krishna is there, there's variety with Krishna. But we see everything is in Krishna. We see Krishna and everything in relationship to Krishna. Then you can see Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. What else is there to think about? There is no second thing. Ekam eva advitiya. There is no nothing else but Krishna. We have to see like that. Okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji. Where is that?
Hindi mein prashna karunga aur translation karunga Prabhu karenge Krishna. Prashna main baad mein karunga, pehle thoda sa main pooch raha hu. Kartam ne 10,000 saal tapasya kiya, sadhana kiya. तो भगवान का दर्शन सीधा भगवान का दर्शन उन्होंने कमल लेने का दर्शन किया था और उनके पास ऐसा सिद्धि था अपने पत्नी को खुश करने के लिए एरोप्लेन बनाया दो तीन मंजिल का उसमें अच्छा गार्डन में अच्छा तालाब में अच्छा सब फूल के पेड़ पक्षी सुगंध हवा विभिन्न प्रकार का उन्होंने बनाया तो हमें लगता ये बहुत बड़ा रथ क्या है सिद्धि एक आश्चर्य लगा है परंतु मेरे ख्याल बुद्धि से मुझे तो यही kārya-kya. Rasa-mangatati unke liye parmat-kya padana hai. Kyaane ye samayya sasadhalo suprenne me dekhi kumura ta mungha kaya hai kutne. Patri mure ki kumura ta. Aare aapne siddhi ka aftrata dekhaya. Parant Prabhupada सत्तर साल अवस्था में इतना बड़ा दोष जो कार्य किया तो इनका आत्मा ये प्रभुपाद ने ये कहा हमें वाणी प्रभुपाद का जो मेरे भक्त 10,000 साल तक ये चला सकते हैं चल के सकते हैं तो प्रश्न है ये आगे जाकर अगर ये धर्म नष्ट हो जाएगा घोर गले में तो सत्य जो प्रारंभ होगा तब भगवान प्रभुपाद इस प्रकार की सारी ऋषि मुनि का बात भागवत में वर्णन है उस प्रकार प्रभुपाद का नाम आना चाहिए आएगा कि नहीं सत्य जो
आई ट्रांसलेट हिज कमेंट एंड क्वेश्चन इन इंग्लिश ही सेड दैट कदम ने मेडिटेटेड 14,000 इयर्स एंड देन ही गॉट द विजन ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड कदम मुनि He created an aeroplane, which was very big because it was sitting and it was flying here and there. So he had a great mystic power. So he was a great person when I think about this, this is a very great. But at the same time, we see today that he is a Prabhupada. The Prabhupada has created a house in which the whole world can live. So his achievement. Is also is greater than Kadam Muni's achievement. So his question is that this house will remain for 10,000 years. The Prabhupada's house, aeroplane will remain for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years, it will be destroyed and Kali Yuga will start with full force. And again, Satya Yuga will come. So at that time again the Lord will arrive and he will bring back the Krishna consciousness. So at that time, just like today we see in Bhagavatam, so many names of great sages have been mentioned. In the same place, the next Satya Yuga will come and Krishna consciousness will be brought back. At that time, will Prabhupada's name be included in Bhagavatam or not?
Well, Vyasadeva is still writing, huh? So it's possible. I don't know. I'm not in charge of the Transcendental BBT. But certainly there are many books, you know. There are already many more volumes of Bhagavatam in the heavenly planets than there are here. So for all we know, it's already there. We'll have to see.
Maharaj, Prabhupada ji, last question. You have told me that Devas, who Devata puja karte hai, un bhast jiska bhakti hai, wo puja karte hai. So, Bhagavan Ram, jab Lanka mein ja rahe the, Dev Dev Mahadev, unhone paatapana ki puja ki. अब जिनकी पत्नी चुरा के लेके गए थे विद्वान के रूप से रावण को लेके आए पूरा ब्राह्मण के रूप में वो आज पूजे थे तो महादेव देवदेव महादेव देवदेव से बड़े थे महादेव तो राम भगवान उनके पूजे किए अगर साधारण जनता ये प्रश्न करेंगे तो उनके लिए क्या जवाब है
They worship demigod. But we see in the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra that while going to Lanka, he worships Lord Shiva. So how can we understand this? When common people ask this question, how can we answer this?
And what happened with Lord Shiva? He what?
Lord Ramchandra.
Yeah.
He worships Lord Shiva. Lord Mahadev.
Yeah.
So how can we understand? One hand will say, don't worship any god. On the other hand, Lord Ramchandra himself is worshiping any god.
We can worship demigods. There's no problem worshiping demigods. We just have to worship them as servants of Krishna. We worship demigods as independently for Krishna, and we worship them for material benefit, then that's demigod worship. But otherwise, Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava, and we know that Krishna worships his devotees. Yayatam mam pupajite tam stataivam pajamyaham. He worships his devotees. So they're all actually the devotees. We can respect them, we can respect them like that. But it's not exactly that the demigods are forbidden, but that we worship them for something separate from Krishna consciousness. Otherwise the gopis were worshipping Kadyayani. So you can worship, it says in the Nectar Devotion, you can worship Ganapati for removal of obstacles in devotional service. So that's acceptable. Okay. I'd have to go. It's late now. Huh? Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.